deliverance this morning as I turn your heart to the blessing of our salvation and grace. I'm reading two portions of Scripture, rather making a background for the thoughts that we will be bringing to your heart. The first is Ephesians 1:15-14. Now you, on hearing the word of truth, even your gospel of your salvation, in whom when believing also, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment until the deliverance of that which has been procured for the praise of His glory. Again in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. Again in Romans 5:1-2, being then justified, or constituted righteous by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we have had the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand, we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. In verses 10 and 11, for it being enemies, we were conciliated with God through the death of His Son, much rather being conciliated, we should have saved in His life. That not only so, but we are glorying also in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now obtain the reconciliation. Then again, we have the wonderful expression found in Colossians, chapter 1:21-22, and ye being once estranged and enemies in comprehension by wicked acts, yet now be reconciled by His mother's faith through His death to present you holy and flawless and unimpeachable in His sight, since surely you are persisting in the faith, grounded and settled, and not being removed from the expectation of the evangel which you hear. And last, Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship, or our realm, is inherent or belongs in the heavens, out of which we are waiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who transfigures the body of our generation, to conform it unto the body of His glory, in accordance with the operation which enables Him to subject all to Himself. This morning, as I endeavor to bring to your heart the outline study on the blessings of our salvation, I want to again just briefly state that salvation is not religion. We should never confuse in the scriptures God's salvation and religion. Religion is doing, 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 by which there is a hope of gaining something. Salvation is the right enjoyment by faith of the gracious blessing of God, bringing a full release from the guilt and penalty of our sin, the rescue from the power of sin in our bodies, and the ultimate deliverance from the presence of sin, when through our Savior, Christ Jesus, the body of our humiliation will be transfigured to conform to the body of His glory. That will be our complete salvation. Our great salvation in the grace of God covers the past, the present, and the future, on which I talked to you last Sunday. At that time I pointed out how we were saved from the guilt and penalty of our sins when we believed the gospel of our salvation. We are being saved from the power of sin in our bodies, in our daily experiences, as we are persisting in the faith, putting the practices of the body to death, and walking in the Spirit, in the newness of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We shall be saved from the presence of sin with the deliverance or glorification of our body. That is an outline, a background of Scripture upon which to continue our faith and to rest in this promises. Our dispensation from God in grace carries a sevenfold blessing of rescue, security, and deliverance, which may be summarized for our remembrance and blessing as follows: redemption, sanctification, justification, conciliation, reconciliation, purification, ransom. Now, these are important definitions from God for our hearts. We should hide them in our hearts. And also the understanding of their meaning for our joy and rejoicing in the blessing of our salvation. Let me do it again and add something of meaning to it. Redemption, new ownership, sanctification, new consecration, justification, new standing, conciliation, new attitude, reconciliation, new relationship, glorification, new habitation, ransom, new freedom. That's the meaning that God has placed in this terminology concerning the sevenfold blessing of our salvation in grace. I'm going to read along with equally: redemption, new ownership. Redemption denotes a purchase to Satan. Adam sold the whole human race under sin to Satan. That is the right word. They have been all right by education and sanitation, among other patients and patients. They decide that they're all right. They do not realize that with Adam sold the whole human race under sin to Satan. And we find that the scripture that bears it out is Romans 5, 12, 14, and Genesis chapter 1 and 2, chapter 2, and John 8, 33 and 34 give you a clear definition that the human race is sold under sin to Satan. Christ will King, Paul, our precious human race with his own precious blood. Revelation 5, 9 and 14, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, 7, 22, and 1 Peter 1, 17 and 20. In this revelation of redemption, we find that Christ has paid the redemptive price. They're bought for the price, the precious blood of Christ. They're not ours. Therefore, we find then a new ownership. When God calls us to himself in his beloved Son, we have a new ownership then. Another owns us besides Satan. Satan has owned us, but when we come under the blessing of the blood of Christ in redemption, we come under new ownership. Christ owns us. He bought us with his own precious blood. Returning to the fact that we live and pass along this morning, sanctification is new consecration. Sanctification denotes to be set apart for God, for consecration and devotement to and service for Him. We have a lot preached and taught about sanctification and holiness. I believe in all the sanctification and holiness of the Scriptures. I am particular about that. I am urgent about it. It's important. Objectively, God hallows or sanctifies us by His Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. But He constitutes us for a new state of hallowedness with Him. It is by His Spirit that we are hallowed, sanctified unto God with that new state of holiness or hallowedness with Him. Subjectively, this is the will of God, your sanctification, holiness, our devotement to God in cleanliness and purity from every pollution or filthiness of the flesh and spirit with complete consecration to His service, the service of the one to whom you have been bought and to whom you belong. This is 1 Thessalonians 14, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 18. 18:7-1, and John 17:19-21. There we find then that sanctification is objectively and subjectively. God sanctifies us by His Spirit in setting us apart for Himself and to His service. And then, this is the will of God, your sanctification, your devotion, your consecration to Him and to His service. And so we find that Israel was admonished to be holy, even as Jehovah their God was holy. Therefore, we are to be holy, set apart unto Him from the world and its filthiness and all that is wrong and unrighteous. And the third, justification. Justification is a new standing. New standing. Justification in the true Bible simple word denotes the gracious work of God, releasing the believing sinner from his guilt and penalty incurred by his sin, declaring or pronouncing him righteous in Christ Jesus. That's justification. Now we're not talking about pardon and forgiveness here this morning. We're not talking about the gospel of God that came through the Christ, with pardon or remission of sin. We're talking about God's salvation in grace, through the gospel of the grace of God. There is distinction that must be distinguished if we are to recognize this in the true sense as God is revealed in His word. It is really important that we clearly discern and recognize that justification, pronouncing the sinner righteous for his faith in the gospel of the grace of God, is not forgiveness, but pardon, or remission of sin, received through believing the gospel of God, like Israel did, and like the priest by Peter, James, and John, and also Paul, when he acted as the priest of the gospel of God for the Gentiles. And when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise to you and your fathers, and those that are far off, the names that Lord our God shall call." He wasn't talking about justification. He did not envy of this. Prophets knew nothing about justification. And here he was speaking on that. Then when Paul went out to act as a priest of the gospel of God for the Gentiles, and all of the Philippines, and there he went out on the Sabbath day, and he preached. And the Lord told him, "Lead your heart so that she might believe." Why, Paul is simply a baptizer. That's not justification. That's the pardon of sins. That isn't for the remission of sins. And so was the Philippian jailer. He was baptized the same hour of the night. But that's not pardon. That's not justification. That's pardon. Remission of sins on under the gospel of God. And brings the blessing and the allotment, the calling that God ordained in the gospel of God. But in the gospel of the grace of God, justification by faith, in the gospel of the grace of God, the believer gratuitously, freely receives the righteousness of God. Receives the righteousness of God and stands in good beyond condemnation. That we learn in Romans 8:1-4. Also in Romans 3:21-28. Romans 4:3. Galatians 2:16. Philippians 3:9. All of that carries us over into the gospel of grace, where in believing we receive this wonderful blessing, being then justified, made righteous by faith. We need to have peace through the Lord our Jesus Christ, to whom we have the access also in faith, into the grace in which we stand, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2. Four, conciliation. Conciliation, new attitude. Conciliation has come to us in a confused state in our Bible because it's been translated reconciled and reconciliation and atonement in our King James Bible. And of course, that declouds the issue and we don't get through to the divine thought God revealed in verse conciliation. Now then, when we turn to the conciliation, remember that our two words in the Kapalato, which means conciliate. Kapalato, which means to reconcile. They are two distinct thoughts, but they have been put together in one, and that causes us to miss the idea in the rest. Conciliation denotes the gracious work of God making peace in the death of His Son, not recognizing how offenses to mankind, changing conditions of access to His presence, for overcoming their enmity and winning their Authority, Israel, and SQ of peace, heard himself. That is the meaning of conciliation. It is a work that is done of God in Christ for the world, but the world knows nothing about, has no part in it at the time it was carried out. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. He wasn't reconciling the world to himself. He was conciliating. He was making peace. He was making the foundation upon which a reconciliation could come about. The peace had to be made first, and that peace was God's conciliation of the world. When he made peace in the death of his Son, the Son of God, that was the foundation upon which reconciliation can ensue. Come on. And so, God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. Now, let me delve into some of that. So, 2 Corinthians 5:19. For if being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of the Son. Much rather being conciliated, we should be saved in his life. Romans 5:10. Thus, the gracious work of God in conciliating is that of overcoming, winning the hearts of men from enmity to the new attitude of peace toward God. A new attitude. It men wherever you find them. They've got an attitude of enmity, hatred toward God. They don't like God. They avoid him. They steal away from him. They have nothing to do with him. They were alienated in Adam. God was in Christ making peace, conciliating, overcoming, winning them from their enmity to the attitude of peace toward him. Not peace with him, but peace toward him, that they would take a new attitude toward God. Instead of having an attitude of hatred and enmity, they would take a new attitude reconciliation. What is this? Reconciliation is a new relationship. Reconciliation is stronger in meaning, wider in scope than conciliation. It denotes the gracious work of Christ having given off the enmity in his body of flesh, in his death on the cross, making peace, thus releasing those on the earth and those in the heaven from their former state of alienation and enmity. Then, through the gospel of peace, will now change them to the new relationship in peace, friendship, well-being with God. For through him, we all have our access in one spirit to the Father. That's Ephesians 2:13-18. Colossians 1:20-21. So then, reconciliation is the proof based upon the conciliation. The conciliation was the death of Christ, making peace. Now then, through the gospel of peace, when men receive the gospel of peace, they are reconciled to God in peace, friendship, fellowship, goodwill. It's an actual fact. Therefore, we see then that reconciliation is a new attitude. Reconciliation is a new relationship. A relationship in peace, harmony, and goodwill. So remind them, brothers, it's good to have these things in our mind, that we may see the process of our salvation, and how from glory to glory and blessing to blessing, we pass into this wonderful relationship that God has us. We turn to the sixth, glorification. Glorification, new habitation. New habitation. Here we are, in this body of humiliation. Sin, curse, death, doom. That's the condition of our body. Glorification speaks of our body change. The deliverance of our body. The corruptible for the uncorrupt. The mortal, the living, putting on immortality. Change from the soilish body realize what? It means that we will have a complete change of this mortal self. It will be transfigured to conform unto the body of his glory with life, purification, immortality, incorruption beyond the power of death. We're tied together with our Lord. That we have in Romans 8:18-23, 1 Corinthians 15, 42-53, Philippians 3:20-21. What a wonderful hope, a good expectation in grace God has given to those who receive his wonderful message and promise in grace. And so, ransom, new freedom, freedom, the ransom denotes the consummating work of our salvation, namely, setting free, liberating into the full and glorious freedom of our sonship, liberating into the glorious freedom of our sonship, 1 Thessalonians 2:5-7, Ephesians 4:27, Romans 8:19-23, in 1 Timothy 10:5-7, I read briefly that scripture for you in conclusion, and bring it to your heart. This wonderful thought of ransom. For there is one God, one mediator of God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who is giving himself a corresponding ransom for all. The testimony in its own evil, for which I was appointed a herald and an apostle, I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the nations or Gentiles in knowledge and truth. He reminds us that Christ says both. The cross, his own precious blood. We're not our own. We're his love grace. We belong to him. We are responsible to him. We have to account everything of our service and devotion to him. He is to take that in charge when we are manifested in his presence at the base of Christ. There, each one of us will stand there to give an account unto him. But when we have come to the final finish of our duty and set forth into our allotment, the last thing is to liberate us into the glorious freedom of sonship in God. We are liberated, completely liberated into the glorious freedom of sonship, to the same as he has with God. Now we belong to him. We belong to him. He owns us. And we are his love ways in that sense. And yes, there comes a time when we have been perfected along together with him. When we have been transfigured into his image. And likeness, complete in him, and complete before the Father. And we have been brought to that place where the entire continent of the Deity, God, dwells in us bodily, the same as it dwells in Christ bodily today. Therefore, when that time arrives, then we are liberated into our glorious freedom of sonship in God. God in us, and us in God. Complete. As the glorified Son of God. What a wonderful, loving Father to prepare a complete and glorious salvation for us as we have enumerated for you here this morning. And what a wonderful, amazing, and gracious Savior we have in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, to bring us to God, the Father, in all of his blessing and bliss and glory. What a wonderful message of good news, the gospel of the grace of God, is held to a sinner's wisdom, lost humanity, that they may hear, respond by God's Spirit, and receive this wonderful blessing by grace, through faith, not of themselves, but as the gracious gift of God, and realize, appreciate, and rejoice in it, and live it with joy and rejoicing, thanksgiving and praise unto our God and Father. Our gracious Loving Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity once again to enumerate to the hearts of this beloved people the wonderful wealth of blessings which we have in our glorious salvation by grace through faith in the blood of Christ. We thank thee for thy great son, God and Father. We thank thee for the blessings to which thou hast called in thy grace. Make them real to our hearts. Quicken each heart with a joy, a new joy, and rejoicing in each step and in each blessing which thou hast given us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. To this end, we leave ourselves in thy hands. This message in thy loving care and keeping, and may thy grace, thy wisdom, thy peace, fill each heart with joy and rejoicing all the days of their lives. Is our prayer, our God and Father, our humble prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.